Good afternoon on this glorious Monday afternoon. Hey, this is your host, Candy G. I am a talk show host, a coach, author, speaker, magazine publisher, and the founder of Nothing But Good News New World Media. I am also the originator of the Vision Program, specializing in developing sustainable, long-term visions to transform companies and individuals from the inside out, truly yielding extraordinary results. I have a strong desire to effect real change, as I myself rose from a life of meager existence as a single parent to a life of bounty and joy, love and happiness. Now, when we take a look here at Nothing But Good News Radio, in this age of sound bites, providing good news and great information in the media is the primary intention and the purpose for Nothing But Good News New World Media. The principles that you will hear here are based on you living your remarkable life, which is the foundation for the magazine, radio, webinars, blogs, online presence, and in all the work that's delivered. I personally am dedicated to bringing high-quality information to you, the public, through all of the programming and to satisfy the increasing demand for integrity, honesty, and impassioned living. I am so excited about today's conversation, and we've had quite a bit of buzz online about the conversation today, so I can't wait to introduce today's guest. But before I do that, you get today's G-Note. And for those that are listening for the first time, a G-Note is what I call a daily gift to guide you to greatness. It's a little bit of motivation, inspiration, just a little thought to help carry you through the day. And today's quote is, "Dear friend, with faithfulness, persistence, and dedication, your talents will have an opportunity to shine." Faithfulness, persistence, dedication, and we all have extraordinary talents. And we're going to find out about one of those roadblocks that really block talents for a lot of folks. I think the survey is going to tell us something like 37 million. All right, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to introduce today's guest. Today's guest is David Rappo. He is a life coach and an authority on addiction freedom, and he's worked closely with clients suffering from the effects of America's number one, do you hear this? Number one health crisis, and that is addiction. And as an addiction freedom coach, Rappo has helped people everywhere learn the secrets to overcoming addiction, and he has established his unique five-step process as a potential benchmark for recovery. So I'd like to welcome David to Nothing But Good News Radio.
Hello, Candy. How are you?
You know what? So happy to have you here. And like I said, you know, I know we chatted for a minute or two earlier today. This has been quite the conversation all day. People are very heated about it. They're passionate about it, and they are lost about it. So what I want to do first is I want to find out a little bit more about you and what brought you to this place of researching, understanding, and finding a way to help folks reach addiction freedom.
Sure. Well, you know, like most who uncover their true path or higher calling, if you will, I've also navigated through a dysfunctional family and faced a great deal of adversity in life. And you know, for me, that tipping point came, I would say, about 9 years ago when, in the span of 12 months or so, I lost my home, my business, commercial property, my marriage, my children, and pretty much every dime that I had. So basically, I lost everything. And that crisis not only sparked my spiritual journey, but it also set off a series of cascading events, including the unveiling of my sibling's addiction, my revelation of the what I call the square root of addiction, the birth of the five steps to addiction freedom, and ultimately my work as the addiction freedom coach.
So I know from our prior conversations that it's not the addiction where you lost everything. And not that I want to get too deep into your past that you don't want to share, but that's kind of a burning question mark. Was it addiction, not addiction, being attached to somebody that was addicted to help you lose all of these things?
Well, personally, myself, I've never had an addiction. And as we spoke earlier today, I feel that that brings something unique and fresh and bold to the table, although my siblings have. But yes, that was part of my journey in uncovering that, hey, this is my true calling. This is my true path. This is why I'm here. I'm here to help people with this. And walking that line of contrast and personally not falling into that pitfall, gave me the ability to see what the root cause of addiction was and how to avoid it, but also yet how to overcome it.
And so let's take a look at some of the things that you have uncovered, because you know what? I'm fascinated by this conversation. And one of the things that was interesting for me is that I started doing some research. Everyone I know has someone in their life who has an addiction issue. I can't think of one person that I truly know that hasn't been touched by this thing called addiction. And I have two folks very, very close to me, and I've watched this. I've agonized over it. I've pondered, what do I do? What do I do? Never really understanding it, because I personally, if there's something that's going on for me and I don't think it's good for me, I just stop it. I was once told that I have a non-addictive personality. So I don't understand something calling me to do something that I know isn't good for me. So right off the bat, I don't understand this piece. So today I really, really, really spent some time studying just statistics and what's going on out there. And I have to tell you, David, I was astounded by some of the things that I read and that I heard. As a matter of fact, I was so surprised that I voraciously was looking for more folks that could teach me more about what is and is not going on out there. And so let's take a look at some of the statistics that you know, and I might share one or two that I found today as I'm researching this. But what are some of the most amazing statistics that you have uncovered in your path to helping find an answer?
Sure. Well, first, you know, a number that you quoted at the beginning of the show, around 38, 39 million, that just describes the number of folks that are addicted to illicit drugs and alcohol, according to SAMHSA. And so that is true, but it doesn't take into account the many other types of addictions, such as gambling, shopping, food. We can essentially use anything as addiction. So one could only guess what the real true numbers are, but I would venture to say it has to exceed 70 million.
You know, that's what I was thinking today when I was taking a look at this issue of all the other addictions. You know what? You hear that music? That means we're going to head off to commercial break, and we're going to address that question right there when we come back. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. This is Candy G with our guest David Rappo, and this is such an important issue. Stick with us for the whole hour. We'll be right back.
Amerijet is the only all-cargo carrier offering online shipping to more destinations throughout the Caribbean, Mexico, and Latin America. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. Book and pay for all your shipments online and receive an instant discount. Amerijet website provides free codes and online tracking to all its customers. Call Amerijet today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website, amerijet.com.
This is Chris Gloss from Atlanta, Georgia. Candy G's book, Now Boarding and Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life, has changed my entire life. From her book, I have begun the process of re-scripting my life for a better future. Her book has actually helped me put my life on a path towards everything that I have ever dreamed and hoped and prayed for. I say to you, Candy G books should be required reading for you. I have made a decision not just to read her book, but to study her book. I refuse to miss any of the treasures in her book. That's why I will study it and use every strategy and technique that she talks about, because to this point, it has made a tremendous difference. If you're ready to make a difference in your life, get the book now.
South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz.
Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio. And hey, I have told you to mark this date, and it's coming up upon us in 2 days, Wednesday, September 28th. In Fort Lauderdale on the 17th Street Causeway at the Embassy Suites. Come and join me as I join Bill Walsh for the Vision to Wealth Success Showcase. It's an evening event. There's going to be some extraordinary folks there, so there'll be great networking from 6 to 7. And then it's a free evening event, and Bill is amazing. Go check him out in my archives. We had an incredible radio show just a week ago, but truly, truly an extraordinary business person, visionary. He really knows how to help folks get their business in line, and so I highly, highly endorse this event. And, oh, by the way, I'll be there. So when you go out there, just make sure you let the folks know at the Bill Walsh event that Candy G sent you. And apparently they've got special free stuff for friends of Candy G. I think that's a great perk. So come out and join us. We're going to have a great time. And so back to our conversation on addiction freedom and how do we get to that place. And, you know, it was interesting, David, before we went to break, you were talking about the fact that folks can be addicted to so many things. It's not just drugs. It's not just alcohol. It can be food. It can be shopping. It can be on and on and on and on, which is truly, truly amazing. And so some of the tools that you're going to share with us today, can that apply to anything?
Yes, it can. And you're exactly right, Candy. You can be virtually addicted to anything. You can be addicted to people, codependency, could be shopping, gambling. I mean, it could be virtually anything. And, you know, the core issues or the foundation or the basis for addiction is really the same across the board. You know, sure, there are small variations according to different types of addictions, but by and large, the core is very much the same. And really, the truth and the straight and skinny on that is that folks use substances or compulsions as a way to manage or alleviate emotional distress, anxiety, depression, and there are several issues at play regarding, you know, what feeds that anxiety, depression, and emotional distress. And the thing that I uncovered, and I like to call it the square root of addiction, which really translates into the direct fundamental cause, is the underlying emotional trauma caused by various patterns of family dysfunction, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, control, part-time parenting, or drug and alcohol abusive parents. So that's what contributes to it on the basic level. So it is the same.
Is it always dysfunctional families?
Yes. You know, as a matter of fact, Candy, that's a good question because people often ask that. And honestly, in the 6 years that I've been doing this, I've never seen one case, not one, that wasn't connected to family dysfunction. And folks are confused about that. You know, most people would not believe that 85% or 90% of all families are dysfunctional. Most people's, you know, idea or perception of family life is that most parents rival Warden June Cleaver in the popular sitcom Leave It to Beaver as model parents would go. But that's not the case. 85 to 90% of the time, you know, there's dysfunction involved. So it's quite widespread and far-reaching.
Well, you know what's interesting? As I mentioned, I think I mentioned it on the air, but I know I certainly mentioned it to you, is that I have two folks in my life that are very close to me. Oh, I had to mention it. Very close to me, and folks that I just love and care about, I can't even begin to tell you, and have watched them dealt with addiction through the years. And they are family members, and I know how dysfunctional my family was. As a matter of fact, it was the dysfunction in my family that sent me on a path to figure out how life really worked so I wouldn't get sucked into the dysfunction. So I was one of the truly fortunate, really blessed ones.
Right.
And yeah, really, truly. And it's amazing because I'm having all these light bulbs go off as I hear you say that.
Sure, and here's where addiction comes into play. It's really a matter of level of coping skills. Perhaps you cope with it differently, and I did as well, but there are those folks who don't. And so these things become literally choking and smothering on an emotional level, and when someone's unable to cope, they turn to substances or compulsions as an escape. They suppress their feelings. They allow other people to usurp their personal power, define them, strip them of their identity. You know, and there are many things involved there. Think about this. I just went through this with a client today. Sometimes parents use control. In this case, you know, the woman's mother was using financial manipulation as a means of control, and she was holding this this piece of property over my client's head, and to her, it just became literally unbearable. It was as if she was being caged or oppressed, because she constantly has that held over her head as to whether her mother's going to sign the property over to her. And rather than speak her will, or rather than address the issue and liberate oneself from those things, sometimes people suppress that. They hide it, and then that boils away inside of you like a toxic stew, and it becomes unbearable. And I'd say to your listeners out there, everybody that's tuned in, connect the dots. You know where the emotional pain is coming from. You know the things that you don't want to, you know, acknowledge, or that you don't want to face perhaps or deal with. You know what drives your anxiety. You know deep down what drives depression or the emotional distress. And if you give it some thought and some, and you do some self-reflection, you uncover exactly what it is.
You know, I as you're saying that, I'm thinking about young folks, and I'm thinking about the young, you know, the young and the teenagers and the young folks that are very, that are addicted, and how they are in a place of their emotional self has not had an opportunity to mature. And that, where is that emotional body, and where do you get those coping skills? And maybe that there's folks that are very young and have been addicted for a long time now that haven't had the chance to gain that emotional clarity. And so I think maybe for someone older, I think that piece that you're saying is, yeah, look inside and you know where the pain is. Let's take a look at getting to that root cause. But what about somebody who's young and does not understand the pain?
Even you know, when you speak of youth, you know, think about it. Many of these patterns begin, you know, when a child is the age of 5, 4. And so you're right. Perhaps they haven't had a chance to develop emotionally and to grow and to establish an identity. And so these things take hold, you know, at a very young age. Sometimes, too, you know, there are spiritual lessons here to be learned, too. And sometimes, you know, there is a spiritual component to addiction. But, you know, the same really holds true for young adults, too. I've had some, you know, clients who have children who have suffered from addiction. So I've got to witness that firsthand as well. And so let me tell you, these patterns do play a role, and it does start at a very young age.
I believe that that's true. I don't disagree with you at all. I'm just saying, helping folks to realize that, and then what we do to help put them on the path towards this piece. You know, we'll get back to, and we'll talk about young folks, but and just doing this study, you can tell I'm a little flustered here, only because some of the studies that I have in front of me and some of the things that I looked at, and it appears as though the world's most popular or the most pronounced addiction treatment system, the one that everybody buys into and says, oh, you have to do this, their success rate is horrid. I mean, it's ridiculous. And,
right.
And what I found out today is it was between 1% and 5%. That's the success rate. Okay, if you're listening to this for the first time, that's what I said today. I said, you have got to be kidding me.
Right.
Global organization is what most folks turn to.
Right.
And then I was digging more, and they found out there were some studies from Harvard Medical that were saying that any automatic remission of a disease, they expect the success rate to be between 1% and 5%.
Yes, you're referring to the spontaneous rate of remission, and yes,
exactly.
Done at Harvard, there were many studies done, and you're right. It's quite startling, isn't it?
Because it's startling, exactly, because what that means.
The facts are this: 95% of all conventional treatment programs out there today are based on the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous and cognitive behavioral therapy. And you're right, many of the studies show that the success rate is somewhere between perhaps 3% to 7%, or some studies say 1% to 5%.
I saw several that said 1% to 5%,
right.
But you know, there's more research to be done, at least on my part. Now, it doesn't mean that this organization or these organizations don't have some really good components to it. But I think the thing that I'm seeing as a good component to these types of organizations is creating an environment is if somebody wants to get clean, they've got a friend to talk to. I'm not so sure. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, where's the goodness
well,
in these? There's a lot of folks.
I agree that there are some good components, although I'm not so sure that's one of them.
Okay.
The good components, here's what I see. The good components, mm-hmm. as we talked about today, AA should be credited with the fact that addiction has a spiritual component to it.
Right.
And I actually think four of their steps are feasible, and I do outline this in my work and in my books. But so there is some credibility, and some of their steps are feasible or plausible. So there is some worth there, and that's not to say that they haven't helped anyone, because I'm sure they have. But what you're describing is, in a group situation regarding addiction, that is actually counterproductive, because it's a personal journey, and no one can travel it for you. And what happens oftentimes in the group situations is people adopt victimization and self-incrimination. And, of course, when you combine that with powerlessness, defects of character, and personal shortcomings, it makes absolutely no sense, because addiction, in essence, is a self-esteem issue. And when's the last time you've ever seen anybody increase their self-esteem by being told they were powerless?
You know, I can't disagree with you there. I really, really, really can't disagree with you. And I think that that's something that we really, really need to explore. We're going to head off to another commercial break. I think this is such an important conversation. And stick with us, because we're going to be right back.
Are you looking for reliable shipping? Would you like to truck your shipment to the Caribbean, Latin America, and Mexico? Do you want shipping options? Then call Amerijet today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at www.amerijet.com. Amerijet has daily all cargo flights and provides service to all Caribbean island and major airports in Mexico and Latin America. For all commercial and personal shipments, visit our website at amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059.
Now boarding. Next stop, Your Remarkable Life. Hello, this is Les Sprout. A Remarkable Life is available to all of us. And Candy G, internationally recognized speaker, life coach, and author, gives us the keys to release the imprisoned splendor, as Elizabeth Browning would say. Candy G is the message that she brings. She has a strong sense of purpose to change the planet and transform people's lives. Candy G and I have shared the stage throughout the United States and all the way to London. Everyone has been amazed with the strategic thinking and winning approach they have gained, not only from her speeches and seminars, but also from her celebrated life coaching program. Now Boarding brings forth a great deal from that program, tied in with Candy G's own life experiences and guaranteed to change your life. This book will enable you to live the life others only dream about. This has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy. Candy G, you've made us all proud.
This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz.
Welcome back. This is Candy G, and this is Nothing But Good News Radio, here with David Rappo. Now, before you get back to David, I have an exciting announcement. I have been working on this project for a year, and part of my mission is to help others help you create your vision. And I'll tell you why that's important, because the true path to having the life you want begins with having a strong, clear, defined vision, understanding that you can have a powerful, dynamic future. And I've been studying this for 35 years, teaching it for quite a long time, and I have brought my expertise to hundreds. And now, in an affordable new coaching and membership program, I Vision My Life, coaching calls, guest speakers, community forum, some incredible technology, you have to see it to believe it, where people all over the world will be able to enhance their life and live lives they dream. So what I want you to do is I want you to go to ivisionmylife.com. It hasn't launched yet, but there is a membership site there, and there's a couple of cool videos that you can see. But just go sign up. All the sign up will do is get you an email when we launch so that you can come and check it out once we're in full launch mode, and that'll be in the next couple of weeks. ivisionmylife.com. I couldn't be more proud of this project and this product, so go ahead and take a look. You know, what's interesting, David, is I'm talking about that commercial and some of the things that I create. I spend a lot of time teaching folks how to get into that place where they can understand that when they can see the power in themselves, when they can see what they really want to create, when they can see a powerful, dynamic future, that there are ways that they can begin to put one foot in front of the other. And to get that to happen, I know how powerful that is. I've taught thousands of folks, taught it to thousands of folks. And so,
in essence, you're teaching empowerment. You're empowering people.
Exactly. And so I'm thinking about this conversation that we had about powerlessness, and I'm going, wow.
And you know, that is what you're doing, but that's also one of the two main components that's required for addiction freedom, liberation and empowerment. Those are the two main components. Of course, there's five steps that work off of that, but and we can get into that. But before we do, I just wanted to mention, you know, you asked me about statistics earlier, and here's something that's really, really important, because you know, you could sit here and debate whether addiction is a disease. You could sit here and debate whether the success rate is 1, 3, 7, or 20%. But in my mind, I'm not going to engage in that debate. And you want to know why? Because it's irrelevant. And here's why it's irrelevant. Because in 2002, the NIAAA, or National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, did a study. They surveyed 43,000 people, and what they discovered and what they concluded was is that 75% of all folks who overcome alcoholism do so on their own without any treatment whatsoever. So that begs the question, why do folks necessarily need conventional treatment? The answer to that is they don't. So the good news here, Candy, the good news is that people can beat addiction, they can transform their lives, and they can do it without ever leaving home.
You know, and here's the thing, the interesting thing about that. I think that what I've seen, I think that piece is true. But I think that a lot of people get very scared that they cannot. I think that whether that's fear-based, you know, just a fear or truth, is that I think there are a lot of folks that say, this thing has a hold of me. I can't do it on my own. What do I do? And let me give you an example.
Sure.
I don't know that if it's as much the addiction as it is the physical ramifications. For example, there's one person I told was very close to me and somebody I care about dearly who's had a serious addiction issue for 30 years.
Right.
30 years. Brutal to watch. Mm-hmm. And finally, in the last year or so, he said, I have to be done with this. I absolutely have to be done with this.
Right.
Alcohol is his addiction of choice. But the problem is, because he's been drinking for so long, when he tries to detox on his own, his body goes through a process called kindling. Are you aware of what that is? It's when you've tried to detox for so many times that you cannot physically manage the symptoms on your own. For me personally, I said, I don't know that I believe this. If you want to stop, you'll stop. And then I started researching this and found out about this thing called kindling, because he detoxed himself two times prior. And this third time, he tried to go and do it. And what happened is he would have shakes, he'd have convulsions, he'd have seizures,
right.
And so he couldn't do it on his own.
Well,
but I found out that it's a very dangerous thing to do. If what I found out is that if a heroin addict and an alcoholic walks into an emergency room at the same time, and there's only one bed, they will take the alcoholic because of these seizures. So finally, he said, "I want to get past this. I want to get past this." And he kept trying to figure out a way to do it. But because of the fact that he hadn't managed his life well, didn't have the money to get into any kind of a detox situation. And so the only thing he could do was to try to do it on his own. That's the only place where I have a problem with the on your own thing. And then finally, through the good grace of God and the good grace of him not quitting and trying, and he went into a clinic. And finally, after almost a year, somebody said, here's a place that you can call. He happened to call. They just happened to have a bed opened up that day. In he went in. 3 days he's in, right. Medically detoxed off of alcohol. And I spoke to him today. Well, he's 30 days sober because he wants to be sober.
Well, you have to want to do it. And that's a mistake that mainstream recovery makes. They think that everybody is ready to overcome addiction. And that isn't necessarily true. But regarding what you're describing as far as withdrawal symptoms, you know, if someone needs something like that, that's fine. Or if they feel they need it and they can't do it any other way. But my research has turned up that, largely speaking, withdrawal symptoms are really connected emotionally. It's a matter of anxiety and panic attack, because people that struggle with gambling and shopping addictions are known to have withdrawal symptoms as well. So how do you explain that? You can't explain it.
You know what? And I can't, but here's what I say. Maybe one of the gifts I give you today is you can check out this thing called Kindling. Because I felt like you. I kept going, come on. If you want to stop, you'll stop. But then I would see him go into seizures and the things that would happen. And they were real viable physical components. And I went with him to clinics to get him in the door. And they were like, no. If it's alcohol, don't do it on your own. And I was really shocked and surprised, because my thinking is, if I don't want to do something, I can just not do it. Now, apparently, because he has detoxed on his own so many times, it sets up some kind of physical response in the body where it's a tried and true physical response. And so I honor him for that piece and him doing what he had to do. But the good news is, with the medical detox, 3 days done, out the door, and 30 days sober. And I called him up and I talked to him today, and I talked to him about doing the show today. And I said, I want to know how you feel. And I was talking to him about going to meetings and some of the things that he tried to do before. Mm-hmm. And he said, I couldn't do that. He goes, because when I went to meetings, I walked out the door feeling like I wanted to go have a drink.
Sure. And that happens quite frequently. And again, you know, if somebody feels that they need detox or they need something like that and they can't do it on their own, then that's fine. But there still is that emotional connection there, and the thing that drives people to use alcohol destructively is what I discussed earlier. The difference between somebody who drinks socially, and here's the other kicker. Now, I know AA isn't going to agree with me on this because they believe that total abstinence is required, but I've proven otherwise. They want you to believe that if you even so much as sniff a beer cap or a wine cork, it's all over but the crying. And that's just absolutely untrue. I've had several clients, in fact, who have gone on to drink, you know, socially and occasionally after overcoming alcoholism. The other client that I was speaking of earlier, she said to me today, this is after a month, she said, you know, I had dinner the other night and I had a glass of wine. And you know what? I'm really got myself to the place where I was fine with it. That was enough. I didn't want more than one glass. I didn't feel like I needed to drink more than that because I didn't have to escape from these issues. And
well,
proof in the pudding right there.
You know, I think what you say is true. However, I'm going to add a caveat to that. Like, my personal belief is, I believe that each person has to understand themselves enough to know that if you are the kind of person that can't have another drink, don't do it. Like this person, a family member that I was just talking to you about, he had detoxed several times. And for him, his drink of choice was beer. And so he would drink non-alcoholic beer. But just having the beer and drinking the non-alcoholic beer wanted him to take another beer. And he's the kind of person that can't stop.
That's possible.
But I think everybody's different. And I think that there are those folks that can...
there are variances. But here, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say, and I'm going to make this statement, and I know it to be true, so I'm going to say it.
Okay.
When you deal with the core issues and when you liberate yourself from these issues, that nullifies addiction and it renders habitual behavior repulsive in the addicted individual's mind. And I've proven it over and over again.
I can say that could possibly be true. I think that very, very possibly could be true, because it all comes back to learning how to handle your emotional self, which I said, you know, we were talking about youth not growing into maturity. I mean, here's somebody in my family who's been drinking for 30 years who's never had his emotional self mature. And so I think I agree with that there. But since he's not doing the work, he's gotten past the I'm not going to drink thing, but he's not doing the work to manage his emotional self.
Well, and it would behoove him to do that work because he could find himself back there. I hope he doesn't, but he could find himself back there if he does not. You know, I just quoted Stephen Hayes, a PhD from the University of Nevada, the other day. I ran across this quote online. Someone had quoted him, and he said that there's implicit implications when calling addiction a disease because folks believe that it's fixed and unchangeable. And I agree with them.
I believe it does a disservice
to people to call it a disease.
I agree with you, too. I think that there's a place where folks will own that disease. They will own it.
You know,
it's interesting. I'm going to go to disease, and I'm going to say 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I had a cancer situation of which I managed, and I managed well, and I'm cancer-free and happy and healthy and the youngest.
Good.
Thank you. And because of that, I went in to speak at a lot of groups of folks that currently have cancer, have had cancer, know people that have cancer. One of the things that I found astounding is that there were some people that would own their disease like
That's
a badge
right.
of honor.
That's right.
I am my cancer. And those were the folks that were sickest.
Right. Well, you're right. And that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't serve anyone well. And that commonly happens in conventional treatment, especially group programs or the 12-step program. But the way out is through liberation. You know, the mainstream, they want to convince people that addiction is a disease. So, you know, it's a disease that can only be managed through awareness and through the 12-step program or cognitive behavioral therapy. So it can never be cured. It can only be managed. So if you just drink the disease Kool-Aid and drive your broken-down jalopy around Powerless Circle while stopping for relapse roadside assistance when needed, then someday maybe you'll get there. Well, that doesn't sound like the road to happiness to me, and it doesn't have to be that way. You have a choice. You can liberate yourself from these things. You can hop in your Ferrari and fire it up and get on the freeway, just like you teach people. You teach them to empower themselves, right?
You know, without a doubt. I mean, absolutely without a doubt. And like I said, if you know, these segments are going so fast. Hear that music? Thank goodness for my engineer. We're going to head to a commercial break. We're going to be right back. This is such a great conversation. We'll be right back.
Do you need help shipping? Emergent website offers quick quotes, online booking, and door pickup for all your shipments to the Caribbean, Latin America, and Mexico. Visit our website at www.emergent.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. Doing business with Emergent is fast and easy. Schedule all caller service to all major destinations by air and ocean with no weight or commodity restriction. Call Emergent today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website, emergent.com.
Candy G is a sales coach, life skills coach, speaker, author, and personal motivator. A recognized leader in the motivational speaking industry, Candy G teaches universal, timeless principles and real-time action steps, revealing the secrets to true success, happiness, and personal prosperity. She shows others how to master their own lives. For more information on events with Candy G or available products and services, please contact 1-888-526-3334 or visit us online at www.candyg.com. Candy G is also available to customize programs for your corporation, group, or organization.
I just completed the most fabulous program that I ever had the opportunity to be a part of. I'd like to thank you, Candy, for all your help and your inspiration. A little down on myself, not knowing where I was going, but you have brought it out of me. You've given me the confidence to know that I can achieve anything that I set my mind to.
Candy G. Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio and this amazing conversation on addiction freedom. And I love just the way that it's about addiction freedom. You know, you said to me before we went to break, David, about, you know, the things that I teach to folks. And I'll tell you something. I've been studying this thing called thought transformation for 35 years. I've been called an expert in the field. Folks come to me from all over the world to say, teach me what you know. Right. And some basic principles are what you focus on is what you create in life.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So you take that one premise, and if
couldn't
you're
agree
in
more.
An...
So if you think that you are an addict, if you think you are an alcoholic, guess what? That's what you're going to be for the rest of your days. Now, does it have to be that way? Of course not. It's not a ball and chain that you have to drag down the road with you forever. It is not. But that's what people have been led to believe. Hey, you have this, you're always going to have it, and that's just the way it is. You can manage it, you can take care of it, you can keep it suppressed and keep it in Pandora's box, but nevertheless, you're going to drag it around for the rest of your days. And I say that's a big load of bunk is what it is.
Well, one of the things that's always concerned me is that conversation. But the truth is, without me being a person that's worked in the field of addiction, that's merely my thought and my theory and not my truism. I've always felt that way, but it's just, like I said, but I will also say, on the other hand, is I know folks that have been inside organizations where they've made those claims, and it's those organizations that have saved their lives. And so I'm not sure where the disconnect is there.
AA, or are you referring to?
Right, or NA. No, or NA, or an organization where there are folks
that... Well, that some people haven't abstained from their addictive behavior, but what commonly happens a lot of times is a behavioral transference. In other words, they transfer their behavior from alcohol to another type of addiction or compulsion. Perhaps they become addicted to antidepressants, or they find some new compulsion to take up, to divert their attention. That's commonly what happens in many cases. Now, I'm not to say, someone might say, well, you know, isn't it better that someone, you know, would become addicted to religion or perhaps AA itself or some other compulsion or maybe even exercise, could be anything, rather than abusing drugs or alcohol? Well, perhaps on some level, since, you know, they're not going to see physical damage to their body from being addicted to, you know, religion or AA itself. So in that sense, perhaps, but is that my idea of happiness? No, it isn't, and it doesn't have to be that way. But the key to the whole thing is liberation. That's the keystone. And, you know, if you'd like to talk about some of my steps, we could do that.
No, I do. I do want to very much talk about your steps. You know, it's interesting that, you know, while we're on the air, I get a lot of emails and posts and conversations. And remember what I said to you? I said, this is such a huge conversation.
Sure.
And it becomes that thing that folks don't talk about. They don't talk about their brother that's got the problem. They don't talk about their son that's got the problem. They keep it to themselves.
Sure.
They kind of hide it. It becomes a very kind of, I don't want to say the word, but I guess it does become a very shameful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And folks think that it should just be, I should just be able to take care of it, when the truth is it is epidemic in this society. And I think we need to all stand up and seriously take a look.
You're right, it is, and that's what actually deters most people from stepping forward and getting some form of help. The research also shows that only 10% of all folks who are addicted step forward and engage in some type of conventional treatment. So, that, I mean, and you can understand why, because they want to maintain their anonymity. They don't want to expose themselves like that. And
I have to share this email that just came in. May I?
Sure.
The email said, I was an alcoholic. I used to bounce checks at the local liquor store and get drunk at home by myself or out with others. I could not stop myself. After spending time in recovery and abstaining for 11 years, now I'm able to drink in moderation. I changed my thoughts about it throughout those years and came to the conclusion that there is always a time and a place to drink. And then, you know, some stuff about how she'll share her theory with me, but she doesn't care enough about drinking to spend much time giving alcohol any thought.
Right.
I am cured, she says. I give alcohol no power. It's just a thing that is sometimes useful, but most useless.
That's right.
Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, so, it is, and that just proves what I was saying. You can drink in moderation. You can when you're not using it for destructive purposes. Obviously, she's worked through some of those core issues, and she doesn't need alcohol as a diversion or an escape anymore, and she views it for what it really is. Hey, it's nice to go out once in a while, have some dinner, have a glass of wine, or perhaps have a drink with a friend, and I can do that, and I'm okay with it.
Right, exactly. And so, but you're right. She worked through her stuff. Is what she did. She worked through her stuff, which is exactly what you said.
And
share some
of
those.
I applaud her.
You know what? I'm so proud of her. I have to tell you, and some of the things she's gotten through, and I just honestly, bravo, bravo, bravo.
Absolutely.
So share some of your steps before we have about 12 minutes before the end of the show.
Right,
share
something. Let's talk about liberation, because that's the keystone. Everything else works off of that. Empowerment works off of that. And the first step, step one, I call unearth and eliminate the square root.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all the listeners out there, you know, if you think about it, if you want to make a list and you really want to give it some serious thought and be honest, you really know who the folks are that have been abusing, oppressing, and perhaps mistreating you. You know, who's crushed your self-esteem? Who's stripped you of your identity? Who's usurped your personal power? You do have to be honest and truthful about it, and that requires taking off the rose-colored glasses and putting the sugar bowl away in the cupboard. You have to be honest about it and see it for what it really is. Is that difficult? Yes, it can be. But it really, sometimes it's a matter of setting boundaries. Sometimes it's a matter of saying no. Other times it requires, you know, speaking your will. And in extreme cases, perhaps it involves severing a relationship. You simply cannot be responsible for how others live their lives, and you're not responsible for the path that they're on. And if you try to take on that burden, you will destroy yourself. So, who do you need to say no to? You know, are there folks who are verbally abusing you, saying that you're unworthy, you're dumb, you're useless? Or is someone perhaps, you know, dangling things over your head and controlling you? Have you been physically abused or sexually abused? Is that behavior still going on? These are the things that you must look at. These are the things you must liberate yourself from. You have to set boundaries. You have to adopt a set of principles. And you got to use that little word, the one that's absent sometimes from folks, from their vernacular. It's called no. No, I'm not going to do that because that doesn't serve me well. No, I'm not going to tolerate that behavior. And if you insist on calling me worthless, dumb, or a failure, then I'm going to leave the room. And if you continue not to respect my wishes, I may not have a choice but to sever our relationship. Why is it okay for someone to abuse, mistreat, or oppress another human being, regardless of the title that they bear? Why is that okay?
I don't think it is okay.
It isn't okay. But yet, this is the dilemma. This is what people struggle with.
All right, so hear that music. We're heading off to our last commercial break. This is
okay.
Such good stuff. Hey, we're going to come right back, and you're going to want every last drop of the show. We're right back.
Shipping small packages to family and friends in the Caribbean, Amerijet has the right service for you. Small package shipping starts at just $35. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. Amerijet has the best all-cargo service for small and large shipments. You can choose from airport-to-airport service and door pickup at home or office. Call Amerijet 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at amerijet.com.
Hi, I'm Anne from Fort Lauderdale. Now, I'm no stranger to the self-help aisle in the bookstores, and there are so many fabulous motivational speakers out there, but somehow I have never been able to apply what they say to make my life as happy and successful as theirs. Until I read Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life by Candy G. In this book, Candy G takes motivational speaking out of the theoretical right into the practical. Her step-by-step instructions on how to identify the blocks we have to our own success and happiness, followed by step-by-step instructions in her reclamation process, is like some kind of magic bullet aimed at creating the life that we desire and so richly deserve. Candy G is a remarkable woman who used these same tools to create a life overflowing with love and success. And now this remarkable method is available in her first book, Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life. Don't hesitate to buy it and just watch magical things start happening in your life.
South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz.
Welcome back. This is our last segment of the day on Nothing But Good News Radio, and it is such a provocative, important subject. We may need to do this again and again. So where do we go from there, David?
Well, so, you know, of course, I said liberation is the keystone, and that is important for you to address those things, whether it requires boundaries, saying no, adopting principles, speaking your truth, learning to speak your will, or severing the relationship. And I outline all that in my free e-course and audio that folks can download. But beyond liberation, the next step is what I like to call remove emotional baggage, which entails forgiveness, which is often one of the most misunderstood concepts that there is out there. You know, it's commonly perceived as turning the other cheek or pacifism. And that is so far from what the true definition actually is. You know, a lot of people view that as, again, you know, in the teachings of Christianity, especially turning the other cheek. But that's a misrepresentation. You know, actually, the research that I've done, there's evidence to suggest that in the time of Christ, striking someone in the face with the back of the hand was used to assert authority and dominance. However, you know, if the persecuted person turned the other cheek, that was a gesture of indifference and a demand for equality. It wasn't pacifism. It was an act of standing up for equality and righteousness and justice. So that's you know, it's a term that's often greatly misunderstood. You know, and I had someone write on my Facebook wall yesterday, well, you know, you can do anything that you want to me, and it'll never cause me to not learn about myself or to love myself divinely. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? You let me know how that works out for you. Because essentially what you're doing is you're inviting more folks to mistreat you even more. And that's not the point. To forgive someone, you have to take away your self-respect. You have to restore that. And that means setting the record straight. And I use a little allegoric exercise to teach that, if we can run through that for a minute.
We have a few minutes. So.
Sure. Basically what I do is I ask you to stand in front of the mirror. And, you know, I don't want you to act in a literal sense, of course, and you'll understand in why in a moment. But you're standing in front of the mirror. Now you're looking squarely in your eyes. And I want you to haul off and slap yourself in the face. Not literally, of course. But next, look in the mirror and say, you know what, it's okay. I know you're going through a difficult time, and so I forgive you. Now, slap yourself in the face once again. Say, this time, it's okay. You know, I know you're having a hard time, and so I'll just turn my cheek and I'll forgive you. Now, is your face swelling up yet? Is your nose bleeding? Okay, now, slap yourself in the face again really hard. Next, look in the mirror and say, you know, my face is swollen, my nose is bleeding, but I know you're having a rough time, so I forgive you. Now, this is most people's misguided perception of what forgiveness is, and it's often exactly the way most addicted individuals react to their family's dysfunctional behavior. Now, let's demonstrate what true forgiveness is. Same scenario. You're standing in front of the mirror. Slap yourself in the face again. Next, look directly in the mirror and say, you know, I understand you're having a rough time, and I feel sorry for you, but that's not an excuse to mistreat me, and I'm not going to tolerate that toxic behavior any longer. So I'm going to walk down a different path because I don't want to share in your misery. And, you know, I'm not going to harbor any anger or resentment against you, and I do forgive you. But before I go, I want to make something abundantly clear. If you ever slap me in the face again, I'm going to knock you in the next week. Now, am I condoning violence? No, of course not. But the point is, you cannot continue to be a doormat for someone and expect to forgive them. You'll never do it.
I don't disagree with that piece, but I will tell you what's very interesting is our show on Thursday is called The Face of Forgiveness. Reverend Dr. Johannes Christian, who was eastbound on I-70 heading home from Springfield to Columbus when a 7-pound rock deliberately dropped from a highway, smashed through the windshield, nearly killed him. And it talks about his journey towards forgiveness and what forgiveness really means. And I think folks will find this an incredibly, not only inspiring story, but also a way to really learn about the way that David's talking here about forgiveness. And no, David and I didn't set that up. It just happens to be what's happening this week.
Right. So. Well, and I'm sure he has a great story, but, you know, the idea when it comes to forgiveness, you forgive for yourself. You don't forgive for other people. So it would be in his interest to speak his mind about what happened and say that it was wrong and say that the person shouldn't have done that. But at some point to let go of that and move on with his life, because it's only going to harm him if he does not.
And I don't disagree. And I think you'd be.
I critiqued a book recently, and in the book it described, you know, that it's all a matter of how you perceive it. So you just have to perceive that the offender was never wrong in the first place. And I looked at that and I said, really? Well, you know, you can say that an apple is an orange, but that doesn't make it so, does it? How can you just ignore what somebody did and say that it wasn't wrong?
Oh, see, now here's a place where we could have a rousing debate for several hours, because I believe in a world of non-judgment, and that's a world that I live in. You know, Rumi, who's a 13th century poet and scholar, and we had one of the great Rumi translators here last week. It was extraordinary to have him on the show. But one of his poems is, as he says, out beyond right and wrong, there's a field, come join me there. And that when you can see everything as an obstacle, as a situation, and come from understanding, there's a place where forgiveness, gratitude, appreciation, a love of life come into play very, very, very easily. And so I think that's a show for another day. There's our end of show music. David, thank you for bringing a topic to this show that folks were going to be talking about for a long time. This addiction freedom thing, it's something I think we should need to continue talking about. Thank you for being here on Nothing But Good News Radio. Hey, this is Candy G. You know what I want you to do, right? I want you to get on out there and live life like you mean it. Bye for now.